الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Alhamdulillah, my dear respected brothers, elders, sisters as well. Alhamdulillah, today Mazhar Farooq is hosting his Seerah conference, lessons from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, it's a very blessed gathering. So Alhamdulillah, our guest, main guest, Alhamdulillah, from Bolton, Sheikh Dr. Mahmood Chandia Sahib, and Mawlana Yunus Sahib have also arrived. So I request all brothers and sisters as well to participate in the gathering. Alhamdulillah, between Maghrib and Isha, short time, So I request all brothers, please, inshallah, show our hospitality to our guests as well, and inshallah, participate in the program. Inshallah, by sitting in the program, inshallah, we learn regarding the seerah of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and inshallah, we increase our love for Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakallah khair.
Only for today, Isha Salah will be at 8:30. Sif aaj ke liye, inshallah, Isha ki namaz 8:30 baje hogi, inshallah. Allahumma inna alayka wa shukrika wa husna ibadika. Allahumma rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yun wa hablna min
Thank you.
تمام حضرات سے گزارش ہے کہ نمازیوں کا خیال کر دو آگے تشریف لائیں انشاءاللہ. Brothers are requested to come forward inshallah, take into consideration all those who are performing salah. Is taraf bhi aa jao bhai inshallah. Very blessed gathering. The talks will be on Sirah, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, it's very blessed. Let's not deprive ourselves, alhamdulillah. Students of the Alim class as well, they request to come forward as well, inshallah. Nice to see them giving qurbani and sacrifice for the weekend. May Allah Ta'ala accept, alhamdulillah. Inshallah, because we've got two talks, two speeches, and Naat as well, and we're hoping inshallah Qari Usman Sahib may come as well, so we might request him to say a few nasheeds as well. So first of all, I have to start with the recitation of the Qur'an al-Kareem, and our Alim class student of year 2, Faiz Mehdi, I'd like to request him to come forward inshallah for the recitation of the Qur'an al-Kareem.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والسماء والطارق وما أدراك ما الطارق النجم الثاقب إن كل نفس لما عليها حافظ فلينظر الإنسان مما خلق خلق من ماء دافق خلق من ماء دافق يخرج من بين الصلب والترائب إنه على رجعه لقادر يوم تبلى السرائر فما له من قوة ولا ناصر والسماء ذات الرجع والأرض ذات الصدع إنه لقول فصل وما هو بالهزل إنهم يكيدون كيدا وأكيد كيدا فمهل الكافرين أمهلهم رويدا إنهم يكيدون كيدا وأكيد كيدا فمهل الكافرين أمهلهم رويدا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا. فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر. إن شانئك هو الأبتر. صدق الله العظيم.
MashaAllah, may Allah Ta'ala accept. Alhamdulillah. He's a student of the Alim class here, MashaAllah, and his Ustad Qari Muttasir Sahab. We may all know he's in hospital at the moment. He suffered a stroke last week and he's quite serious. So make dua for him, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala grant him shifa quickly as possible, inshallah. You can see the effort that Qais Sahab has made, mashallah, on these students. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accept, inshallah, who does this. I'd like to call upon now, inshallah, Abdul Rahman Nana, who's also the student here of the Alim class, inshallah, to recite a naat, inshallah. This naat he recited in the last jalsa as well. It was really, mashallah, inspirational. So I thought, told him to request him to recite this again, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. مصطفى مصطفى منبع للصفا سيد الأنبياء مشعل في الوفا كان في عطفه لليتامى دفا حن قلبي له فاض شوقا إليه ليس أرجو سوى شربة من يديه الصلاة عليه والسلام عليه. للسماء ارتقى فأتى بالنقى وغدا وجهه نيرا مشرقا كان من عفوه حين حان اللقاء قال فلتذهبوا أنتم الطلقاء حق كدل داركو شاه أبراركو میرے سرکار کو سب کے غم خار کو میرے سرکار کو سب کے غم خار کو السلام 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 السلام. ان کے رخسار پر
زلفِ خمدار پر ان کی آنکھوں کے سرمے کی مقدار پر ان کے قدموں پہ اور دھیمی رفتار پر ان کے الفاظ کی پیارے مہکار پر ان کے اخلاق پر اعلی کردار پر ان پہ لکھے گئے سارے اشعار پر ایسے اوصاف و عظمت کے مینار پر روز جاؤں میں قربان سرکار پر ان پہ پڑھتا رہوں میں درود و سلام ان پہ پڑھتا رہوں میں درود و سلام السلام 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 ماں کی ممتاؤں کو جنتی پاؤں کو پیار کی چھاؤں کو امتی ماؤں کو عشق کے فخر کو علم کے قصر کو پیکر صبر کو بنت ابو بکر کو ناز بردار کو ان کے غم خوار کو چار کے چار کو یعنی ہر یار کو ان کے دلدار کو عاشق زار کو زانوے یار کو یار کو غار کو عدل کے آب کو جوش کی تاب کو گوہر نایاب کو ابن خطاب کو مال کو جان کو دست فیضان کو ابن عفان کو حضرت عثمان کو تیز تلوار کو فتح بردار کو عزم کرار کو ان کے گھر بار کو ایک سخندان کو ایک سنا خان کو نعت کی شان کو یعنی حسان کو السلام 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 مصطفى مصطفى منبع للصفا سيد الأنبياء مشعل في الوفا كان في عطفه لليتامى دفا حن قلبي له فاض شوقا إليه ليس أرجو سوى شربة من يديه الصلاة عليه والسلام عليه للسماء ارتقى فأتى بالنقى وغدا وجهه نيرا مشرقا كان من عفوه حين حان اللقاء قال فلتذهبوا انتم الطلقاء حقك دلداركو شاه ابراركو میرے سرکارکو سب کے غم خارکو میرے سرکارکو سب کے غم خارکو السلام 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 السلام
MashaAllah Mubarak, may Allah Ta'ala bless, MashaAllah. Beautiful Nasheed, may Allah Ta'ala accept, Alhamdulillah. Now, our first guest, Alhamdulillah, for this conference is Mawla Yunus Saab of Bolton. Sheikh is, MashaAllah, was a former teacher at Darul Uloom Bolton, at the Eden School in Bolton. He's a lead in the pastoral care as well. He's also international professional, MashaAllah, mental health counselor as well. Mawlana is also our teacher, Mishkat Sharif, here at Farooq as well, teaching online all the way from Bolton, inshallah, for our students as well. Because of Sheikh's caliber, mashallah, we thought it would be good to have good teachers, and Mawlana accepted our invitation. That's also due to the barakat of Mawlana Mahmud Jandia Sahib, mashallah, who recommends these great scholars as well for us. So his ihsan upon us always, alhamdulillah. So without taking much of your time, I'd like to give it to Mawlana Yunus Sahib, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه نجوم الهدى قادة التقى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Beloved brothers, sisters, and others listening elsewhere, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our purpose in life, from the day we are born till the day we breathe our last, is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it any wonder then that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout his life frequently supplicated, Allahumma inni as'aluka ridaka wal jannah. I ask that you become pleased with me, and I ask for paradise. And can it be a better accolade for the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah himself states, radiyallahu anhum, Allah is pleased with them. This is our purpose in life, to please Him. The way this is achieved is by manifesting our love for Him. This is easier said than done. How can we manifest our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the extent that He becomes pleased with us? That is the question I want to address today. In essence, Islam is defined as absolute servitude to the Lord. Sare taslim kham. Unequivocally bow your head to the Master in whatever He asks from us. And this can only be done through the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To live our life according to his guidance is the method and way to manifesting our love for Allah, which inshaAllah will be the means for our pleasing Him and our eternal success. That is what the Quranic verse I recited means. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say and explain to the nation, if you love Allah, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow my way, follow my instructions, my guidance, my counsel. فَاتَّبِعُونِي, and in return, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, Allah will love you. Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala states that Allah loving you means that He will forgive your sins and give you unimaginable bliss and favors in this world and in the hereafter. This is stated by Imam Qurtubi in his tafsir. We have immense problems as individuals today. We have societal problems, domestic problems, and we have problems as a ummah. All of these problems, the answer for all of them is adhering to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in his earlier life and in his youth, he used to herd goats for his father. Many a times he would be scolded by his father for his folly ways. He had no societal standing. And then he embraced Islam. He started associating himself with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What happens? His thought becomes aligned and agreed to the revelation of the Quran. Many of verses in the Quran are revealed because he expressed his thought regarding a situation and a revelation would be revealed. What a transformation! Because he started associating himself with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, applying his guidance in his life. The ruling in the Quran regarding standing at the station of Ibrahim, Maqam Ibrahim, and establishing prayer, that was a thought of Umar ibn al-Khattab, a Quranic revelation. The prohibition of alcohol, a thought of Umar ibn al-Khattab, revelation in the Quran. The parda of a woman when she exits the home, a thought of Umar ibn al-Khattab, a revelation in the Quran. The battle of Badr, the ruling regarding prisoners, a thought of Umar ibn al-Khattab, a revelation in the Quran. Domestic issues in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's household, a thought of Umar ibn al-Khattab, revelation in the Quran. What a transformation! A man who is scolded by his father because of his folly ways associates himself with Sayyidul Rusul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and what a transformation! The second Caliph of Islam, his social justice, his ruling over the Islamic Empire is used as an example even today. What a transformation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself states, لو كان بعدي نبيا لكان عمر, if there was a prophet after me, it would have been Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, at the age of 18, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when she was 18, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam left this world and departed this world. Before his departing the world, his instruction to the companions is, خذوا ثلثي دينكم من هذه خميرة. Take 2/3 of your religious rulings from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. How did this transformation come into this young woman if it wasn't because of her association with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and applying his guidance in her life? Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, an adopted son of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had a choice. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him the choice whether he wanted to live with the Prophet or whether he wanted to go back to his biological parents. He chooses the former, to live with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He became an authority in the rules of inheritance. How did that come about if it wasn't because of his association with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Only companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam who is mentioned in the Quran by name. What an elevation of rank. What an elevation of rank. Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the foremost companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to have embraced Islam. He was a young boy when he embraced Islam. He saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam perform a miraculous feat, and that was it. He embraced Islam. And then he attached himself to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to an extent that he became known as Sahib al-Siwak wal-Wisad wal-Na'lain, the one who kept the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam the miswak, his pillow and his slippers. Such an attachment with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from a young age. He directly memorized 70 chapters of the Quran from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam states to him, Ibn Mas'ud, recite the Quran to me. He starts reciting Surah An-Nisa, reciting away until he reaches the verse, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَىٰ هَٰؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. How will that day be when all the prophets will be brought us, once testifying for or against their nations, and then you, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, will be brought to testify. At this moment, because the verse was about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he looks at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and tears are flowing down his cheek, and he indicates to him to stop. This attachment and association with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that just because of this recitation, he became an authority upon the domestic rulings mentioned in Surah An-Nisa. In his final moments, Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu comes to meet him. He's on his deathbed. Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu asks him the question, what are you worried about? His response, I'm worried about my sins and my shortcomings. What do you desire? He says, I desire the mercy of Allah. Shall I get you a doctor? His response is, it is the doctors who have made me ill. Shall I give you some money? And he goes, I have no need for the money. Maybe your daughters, he had many daughters. Maybe your daughters will benefit from the money I give you today after you go. What a response. If it was you and me, we would be definitely taking that money. His response is, I've heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam state that if you recite Surah Al-Waqi'ah, then poverty will not come upon you. That is what I leave for my daughters. Association with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, adhering to his guidance till they breathe the last. This is manifestation of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the means and the way to gain the purpose of our life, which is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can go through the history books and the biographies of every single companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you will come up with case studies similar to the ones I've just mentioned to you. On the other hand, you scour the books of history, Islamic history, and you will find out, no doubt, that wherever we have fallen short, we have fallen short because we've distanced ourselves from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his ways. The Battle of Uhud, the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, 50 companions decided to go against what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and from the clutches of victory, they had to face adversity and defeat. Wherever we look in history, we will find this pattern. Our distancing ourselves from the guidance, it has brought nothing but calamity and difficulty upon the ummah. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala states, لَنْ يَسْلُحَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ إِلَّا بِمَا سَلُحَ بِهِ أَوَّلُهَا. This ummah will never reform itself and better itself except by doing exactly what the ones who came in the beginning of Islam did. We can't do something different because we're in a different world, because the era is different, the generation have changed, we've changed. We can only succeed by doing what the former companions of this nation have done, which is adhering to the guidance of Allah guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no other way. We have to follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, otherwise we will see difficulties and calamities, challenges, trials, tribulations ahead. We were very kindly invited to Hafiz Yahya's house. There was a gathering of ulama there, and I was sat there listening to their conversations of the challenges the ummah is facing today. And I was thinking to myself, we're only in this challenging situation wherever we are because we have forsaken the ways taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The nation we live in, the society we reside in, it looks upon the Muslim ummah today with apathy, anger. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as rahmatan lil alameen, a source of mercy for mankind and the world. It is about time that we became this beacon of light and a source of mercy for the society and the nation we live in. We look at the prison population of this country. At best, we're 6% the population of this country, and yet our prison population, Muslim population in prison, is 16%. We look at the localities we live in, and where the localities where people want to leave and go and reside somewhere else. Are we a source of mercy for the society we live in? Is it any wonder that the world is looking upon us with apathy and anger? What have we done to change minds? Let it be that today becomes that day we press that reset button and go back to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did he not face adversity and tribulations? The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived in a valley for 3 years without food. Are we the only ones who are facing trials and tribulations? What was his guidance in those moments? What did he do? That's the guidance we need to take. Whilst traveling here in the car, talking to Dr. Chandia, I mentioned a recent case study of mine with a Muslim young man. I mentioned to Sheikh that this young man, whilst I was talking to him in therapy, I asked him the question, so how do you pass your time, what do you do? Bearing in mind this is a Muslim young man. And he states to me, I don't know, I don't know much. Sometimes I go to the pub, spend some time there. No realization whether this is permitted or not in his religion. This is the state of our nation today. Will we not be questioned? What have we done to change minds? This is not just about you and me today. Yes, definitely we need to adhere to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But how are we going to change the minds of these young people? I stated the companions, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Zayd ibn Haritha, Ibn Mas'ud, Aisha, they were all changed by this guidance. What have we done to change guidance and mindsets today? What have we done? Is it any wonder Ubadah ibn Samit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, knowing the importance of this guidance, on his deathbed is stating to his son, I want you to keep hold of two things in your life. Number one, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and number two, care and compassion for people around you. Keep hold of the sunnah. Mu'az ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was very beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in his final months before his departing this world, deployed Mu'az ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu become the governor of Yemen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew that I'm not going to see Mu'az ibn Jabal again. Mu'az ibn Jabal is mounted on his mount. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is guiding this animal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself is walking and he's talking to Mu'az ibn Jabal. And he's guiding this animal to the outskirts of Madinatul Munawwara. And in the midst of the conversation, he asks Mu'az, when you become the governor of Yemen, how will you judge between people? His answer is, bi kitabillah. I will look into the Quran and seek that guidance. فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدْ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. And if you do not find the guidance on what you're looking for in the Quran, what will you do? وَبِسُنَّةِ رَسُولِ. I will look for the guidance in the sunnah of my beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The conversation continues and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam plucks up the courage to say to him that it could be that we will not meet again. And then he turns around and walks away because he did not want to see, he did not want Mu'az ibn Jabal to see the tears flowing down his cheek. The final advice and counsel of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to his beloved companion Mu'az ibn Jabal is that I want you to adhere in whatever you do with the sunnah. That is where our success is. That's where we have failed. We sit on social media and in our gatherings today, lamenting our society, lamenting our situation. And yet the answer is right there in front of us. We just want to ignore it, because there we have to do some work. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he was such a staunch follower of the guidance and practices of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that it is narrated in the hadith compilations that he went on the final pilgrimage with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then he went again, and wherever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stopped on the journey, he would stop there. Wherever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stopped to relieve himself, even when he was not in need of relieving himself, he would stop there and just sit there for a few moments, because that's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. Imam An-Nasa'i rahimahullahu ta'ala comes up with a narration that in the final pilgrimage, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered Ka'batullah, it was so that Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was not offered that opportunity, because he needed to relieve himself, and he went away from the congregation. And when he came back, his first question was, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went into Ka'batullah, what did he do? What did he do? Did he establish prayers? How many rakats? Where? In which corner? Did he supplicate? What supplication did he make? These are his questions. These are his questions. Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, I've just mentioned, once walks into a congregation where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is at the front. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam looks at him and says, "Ijlis, sit." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's meaning was that I want you to join the gathering and sit down. Immediately near the door, without even entering, he sits there without any question. Today we have 101 questions regarding the sunnah. We live in a different society. It's a different world, man. That was 1500 years ago. Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, after the departing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, goes into a gathering. Remember, this is the Islamic Empire now ruling the world. People are eating standing. He takes the food and sits in a corner. One of the companions who was with him says, "Everybody's standing, wouldn't they think that this is bad?" He says, "Anatruku sunnata nabiyyina sallallahu alayhi wasallam liha'ula'il hamqa? Are we to leave the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam because of these foolish people?" Look at the thought process. La mithaqa wa la dastur qala Allah wa qala Rasul. Nothing else. Only what the Prophet said. How far have we come? Is it any wonder we're facing these challenges today? Imam Ahmad rahimahullahu ta'ala, he's 77 years old. He's got excruciating abdominal pains to the extent that he's urinating blood. His student is helping him perform the wudu. His question after the ablution is completed is, "Are you sure that you have performed all the sunnah of wudu?" In such pain, if it was you and me, we would suffice upon the three forefathers. "It's okay, I'm not well today." "Are you sure you have completed all the sunnah of wudu?" Excruciating pain. Maulana Ilyas Kandalvi, rahmatullahi alayhi, all of us know him as the founder of Tabligh Jamaat. The doctors have advised him to stay in bed. He's not well. "You need to rest." What happens? 2 o'clock in the morning, somebody sees him walking in the courtyard of Nizamuddin. What is he doing? We ask him, the doctors have said you need to rest. He looks up and smiles and says, well, I'm just practicing the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to walk. 2 o'clock in the morning, practicing how the Prophet used to walk. How many of us even think like that? Manana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Nawwarallahu Marqadahu performs Asr Salah in congregation, and people around him can see sorrow etched on his face. Somebody asks him what's wrong, and he says, after 22 years, this is the first time I've missed Takbirah Ula. After 22 years, this is the first time I've missed Takbirah Ula. How many congregations do we miss? How many Salah do we miss? And then we have the audacity to question why so many trials and tribulations and challenges upon us. Like I said right at the beginning, scour the history books. You will only find difficulty for this ummah when they have distanced themselves from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we want the world to change, if we want ourselves to change, if we want society to look upon us with favor, if we want to acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we want to manifest love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we want unimaginable bliss and favors in this world and in the hereafter, there is no other way, my brothers and sisters. This is the only way. May Allah guide me, guide you, and uplift the challenges the ummah is facing today. May Allah preserve our iman. May Allah elevate the ranks of those who have passed away from our families. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Jazakallah khair, Mawlana Yunus Sahib, mashallah. This very thought-provoking speech. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept, mashallah, our students who are studying Mishkat Sharif by the Shaykh as well. How lucky they are that they get to hear Shaykh's speech and dars every day, mashallah. May Allah ta'ala accept, inshallah. Now, alhamdulillah, just before Shaykh Dr. Mahmood Sahib's speech, alhamdulillah, Qari Usman Sahib is here, mashallah. So I'd like to request him to come up, inshallah, and recite in that, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بہت آسان نعت ہے انشاءاللہ ہم سب مل کے پڑھیں گے اور آج میں نے رد کیا جب تک یہ نہیں پڑھیں گے میں وہی پڑھتا رہوں گا انشاءاللہ تو انشاءاللہ مل کر ذکر کریں گے تیار ہیں بھائی صاحب انشاءاللہ بلغ الاولی بکمالہ کشف الدجا بجمالہ حسنت جمیع خصالہ صلوا علیہ وآلہ بلغ الاولی بکمالہ میں بروں سے لاکھ برا سہی میں بروں سے لاکھ برا سہی مگر ان سے ہے میرا واسطہ میں بروں سے لاکھ برا سہی مگر ان سے ہے میرا واسطہ میری لاج رکھنا میرے خدا تیرے حبیب کی بات ہے بلغ الاولی لاوے کمالے ہی کشف دوجا بی جما لیہی حسن جمی اوخی صالحی صلو علیہ و آلہ بلغ الاولا بکمالہ. کبھی خواب میں تیری دید ہو, تیری دید ہو میری عید ہو. کبھی خواب میں تیری دید ہو, تیری دید ہو میری عید ہو. ہمیں اپنے جلووں کی بھیک دو, تیرے در پہ دامن بچھا دیا بلغ الاولا بکمال ہی کشف دوجا بے جمال ہی حسن جمی اوخی صالح صلو علیہ و آلہ بلغ الاولا بکمالہ. جو ملال میں راملال تا, جو ملال میں راملال تھا تجھے اس کا کتنا خیال تھا. جو ملال میں راملال تھا تجھے اس کا کتنا خیال تھا. کہ اجڑ گیا تھا یہ دیار دل, اسے آ کے تم نے بسا دیا بلغ الاولا بکمالہ کشف دوجا بجمالہ حسن جمی اوخی صالح صلو علیہ و آلہ بلغ الاولا بکمالہ. اور مفتی صاحب بہت ہی خوبصورت شعر ہے. نہیں اور کوئی بھی آرزو, نہیں اور کوئی بھی جستجو, نہیں اور کوئی بھی آرزو, اور نہیں اور کوئی بھی جستجو. مجھے اپنے قدموں میں دو جگہ, یہی لب پہ ایک سوال ہے. بلند آواز سے کہہ دیں سبحان اللہ. بلغ الاولا بکمال کشف دوجا بجمالہ حسن جمی اوخی صالح. نہ کسی کے عمل پہ طنز کر, نہ کسی کے غم کا مذاق اڑا, نہ کسی کے عمل پہ طنز کر, نہ کسی کے غم کا مذاق اڑا. جسے چاہے جیسے نواز دے, یہ مزاج عشق رسول ہے جسے چاہے جیسے نواز دے، یہ مزاج عشق رسول ہے بلغ الاعلیٰ بکمال ہی۔ تیرے ذکر کی ہیں یہ برکتیں، میرے بگڑے کام سنور گئے۔ تیرے ذکر کی ہیں یہ برکتیں، تیرے ذکر کی ہے یہ برکتیں، میرے بگڑے کام سنور گئے۔ جہاں تیری یاد ہے دل نشین، وہیں رحمتوں کا نزول ہے بلغ الاعلیٰ۔ ایک دفعہ مل کے پڑھ لیں بھائی، بلغ الاعلیٰ بے کمال کشف دو جا بے جمال ہی حسن جمی او خصال ہی۔ صلو علیہ وآلہ بلغ الاعلیٰ بکمالہ۔
ماشاء اللہ، جزاک اللہ خیر خالد عثمان صاحب۔ ان شاء اللہ ٹو کال اپن ناؤ مین گیسٹ مولانا ڈاکٹر محمود چاندیا صاحب۔ ایم شور یو آل اویئر آف شیخ پریزنس اینڈ الحمد للہ اینڈ ہز بیک گراؤنڈ۔ شیخ الحمد للہ is the Ustaz al-Hadith of Rahimi Academy in Mawlana Rahim Limbada Sahib's Madrasa as well, as also brought in Darul Uloom as well. Sheikh also teaches lectures in university, and Masha is also translator of the Holy Quran as well.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ۔ نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم، اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم۔ لقد کان لکم فی رسول اللہ اسوۃ حسنہ لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا، صدق الله المولان العظيم۔ وعن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي الهجرة أفضل، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن تحجر العبد ما كره ربك، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم۔ Respected brothers, ulama, memorizers of the Holy Quran, sisters on site, off site, and those who may be listening through alternative means and devices, I greet you all with the greetings of Islam. We are living through very challenging times. But if you ask the elders who are sat here, they have seen all this before. The state of the world, the state of UK, is going through a phase where we are being challenged about our own identity. The UK Muslim community, 50 odd years ago, when there was a right-wing push in the UK, ask the elders, they will know about the British National Front, they will know about the National Front. There will be people probably sat here who were going to school in those days and probably had chili powder in their pocket for their own safety. Chili powder was cheap in those days, Molina. But it was their self-defense. They weren't black belt karates. They watched Muhammad Ali on the TV, but they weren't Muhammad Ali. But those days passed. In those days, masjids like this masjid and other masjid, Tablighi Markaz, Khanqa, Darul Ulooms, all those were created. Alhamdulillah, to the extent that some numbers say that we have about 3,000 odd masjids nowadays. More than 2,000 Darul, or 2 dozen plus Darul Ulooms. Berry has itself, Darul Ulum Berry has about 1,200 ulama who have graduated, more than 3,000 huffaz. But if tomorrow, how would we feel if we were to lose all this? History, Muslim history has seen this before. In Spain, there was a time in Andalusia when the Muslim community were there between 711, 1492, between 756 and 1056. These were the three golden centuries. We have a masjid that was built there on Roman ruins. Today is referred to as Mesquita. It's a museum now. You have to pay about 12 euros to enter. You're not allowed to perform 2 rakat salat, but that place, that masjid, that Mesquita now had seen a day in history where 40,000 people came for Jummah. So when I ask you, how would you feel if we'd lost all this? This has happened before. And this is just one area that I've mentioned. Islamic history is full of it. We are unaware not only of our own history, we are equally unaware of the history of UK. And if you ask the children who are coming to Maktab here, they will equally be unaware of the history of this masjid. Every masjid, the committee should put together information about the history of their masjid. Because the young people must know the history of that masjid and the sacrifices that have been made for the masjid, for them to safeguard their iman. So if we were to lose all this, what would happen? The reason that happened in Spain is simple. Because the hadith that I've just cited, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, which hijrah, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the best? He did not say going to Ta'if, he did not say going to Habasha, he did not say going to Madinatul Munawwara. He kept it general, and this hijrah was for everybody from that time onwards until the Day of Judgment. That hijrah where an individual moves away from doing what does not please his Allah. That's the hijrah. So from this we learn there are two hijras. There is a physical hijrah where you move. Our forefathers moved here. Some of us who are reaching pension age, nowadays they're hidden because they dye their hair. Who are reaching pension age will have seen the 70s, 75s, will have gone to school here. But then after that, we have made in England products. They don't know the history. They don't know what it's like not to have a takeaway in their town. They don't know what it's like not to go by yourself to town. In this scenario, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best hijrah is that you leave what does not please your Allah, because ultimately your end game is in front of Allah. That's the moment we need to prepare for. And when historically individuals, Muslim communities, thought more about the physical hijrah rather than the spiritual hijrah. On the return trip from Ghazwa Tabuk, Battle of Tabuk, at the end of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam time, this was a major, major battle. The preparation for that battle was more than any other previous battle. 30,000 troops were prepared, 30,000. Those who are left behind, there's an infamous incident about them, 30,000 troops. If you're unable to come because of illness or disability, you can sponsor somebody. You can provide the food. You can do this. You can do that. Do not miss out in this. This was a big altercation to occur with the Roman Empire. On the return trip, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that we are now returning from the lower jihad to the greater jihad. And the greater jihad is against yourself. If where we are failing today is because we are failing in the greater jihad against your own self. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says, "A'da adubik ma bayna jambayk." Your staunchest enemy is not right-wing National Front. Your staunchest enemy is you yourself. If you've got your cross wiring here and your wiring is not straight in your heart, that's your biggest enemy. If you're not feeling the pleasure of putting your sinful head on the floor in sajda and you can't feel the presence of your Creator there, something wrong in your spiritual wiring. If you're able to watch a Netflix series, one episode after another episode after another episode, a serial watcher, yet that same individual is unable to stand in 20 rakats tarawih, there's something wrong somewhere. If you're able to sit and watch Shah Rukh Khan for 3 hours, but you cannot listen to one part of the Holy Quran in 1 hour, there's something wrong somewhere. And the best one, if you're able to go to the gym with some protein already taken and then pull your push-ups and your pull-ups and your press-ups and do your weightlifting and compete with your contemporary and your peer for weightlifting, yet the next day you're supposed to be fasting and you think, "I'm not feeling well, I'm not going to be fasting now." Yet the father or the uncle or the elder sibling in the house, the doctor has said, "You've got diabetes, you need to take medication, it's a long fast, you need to take medication. Or you've got this type of issue, you need to take medication." They've asked the Mufti Sahib, Mufti Sahib's given them a license to take medication because their life depends on it. That person will say, "I'm going to be fasting. The doctor can go back to university and study again. I'm not missing my fast." Can you see the difference when this is not intact? When this is not aligned with Allah, this is what happens in society. Because as secularism spreads across the globe with his tentacles, that secularism is not interested in Allah. And the biggest thing, if you think you're worried about your next generation, look at the crowd today, look at any masjid in the crowd. Ask Maulana, he goes over here, there and everywhere in masajid. Ask Hazrat Maulana, he goes in different masajid. He deals with these issues day in, day out. That where is our young crowd? Where is the next musalli is going to come? Where is the growth in Musalli coming from? If it, Allah bless our Jamaat brothers, if it was not for their work, Allah bless our Maktab Ustaz, if it was not for their work, Allah bless our Khanqa and our Darulams, if it was not for their work, where would we be? This is the infrastructure. Imagine if all that was taken, you would see Spain again. You would see Spain again. Which one of us stands in Tahajjud Salah at night and say, "Allah protect the work of these Mashaikh and Buzruk"? Which one of us stands in Tahajjud Salah and after 2 rakats of Tahajjud sheds our tears, "Allah bless Hafiz Patel Sahib and Hazrat Maulana Sumutala Sahib"? If it was not for them, we would not even have a topi on our heads. Never mind attending a Seerah Jalsa. Seerah Jalsa should be the highlight of every masjid. This is our demonstration for the love of best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if people are today standing up or marching because there are too many Muslims, or Islam is a problem, or this, that and the other, this has been seen before. It's nothing new. It's just more pronounced, more open. When the Hijrah of Habasha was happening, what we need to understand is, where is our lesson in Seerah? There is always a lesson in Seerah. If we fail to see it, we need to go Specsavers. Because there's something wrong in our eyes, because if this is not open, our heart is not open, the eyes will not open. And to open your heart, you need to spend time by the feet of our mashayikh and buzruks. Which one of us today sends their young child, Maulana Sahab, please keep my child in your company? The mother of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my child, he will be in your service. Abdullah ibn Abbas, today, where everybody is quiet, and what does this ayat mean? They all look to Abdullah ibn Abbas's tafsir. Because he stayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he gave him dua as a barakah and blessing of that dua. Young people who are sat here may be listening, nobody becomes anybody without the dua of their parents. Nobody. Allama ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi, dua of his mother. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, dua of his mother. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, dua of his mother. You pick up anybody. Nobody becomes somebody without dua of their parents. And in today's day and age, people are waiting, when can I send my mom or father to the home? Or when do I get the inheritance? You may feel I'm being a bit more open. I'm on a meter. Maulana has already told me 20 minutes, 8:20. Mehman banke aaya hoon, abhi se ke nikal jao. And I come from the Bronx, by the way. We say it as it is. Maulana is here from the Bronx. We say it as it is. We don't mince our words. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hijrah now is Habasha, because they were not wanted in Makkatul Mukarramah. Brothers and sisters, can you imagine that same individual who for 40 years in Makkatul Mukarramah was an absolute saint? He was Al-Amin, he was a Sadiq. I don't need to explain the translation of those two words. Everybody thought he is Al-Amin. Everybody thought he is a Sadiq. Soon as he stands up and says, Islam is for you, brothers. Stands up on the Mount of Safa and says, if you, I were to say there's an army behind this mountain, would you believe me? They said, of course. We never doubt anything that comes out of your mouth. Said, well, I'm telling you this. Who stands up? The chieftains of Makkah says, this why you called us here? Abu Lahab says, Ali Haza Jamatan, is this why you called us here? May you perish, may this happen to you, may that happen to you. Allah Rabbul Alamin sends down the surah. Tabbat yada Abi Lahab. When the hijrah was being planned to Habasha, 82 odd people went. One of the individuals who thought enough was enough, like some people do today. Some people who I've had conversations with think enough is enough, we're going to leave the UK, we're doing hijrah. So I said, brother, where are you going? Do you think it's that easy to do a hijrah nowadays? Tell me which country you're going to. Tell me which country you're going to. When the Habasha hijrah, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ya Rasulallah, can I leave Makkatul Mukarramah? This is Abu Bakr Siddiq. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala narrates a hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Says, I never saw my parents without religion. As I was growing up, I never saw them. So when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu found Islam, the first person to become a Muslim, found Islam, this was the glory days for him. But he saw that I'm not being allowed to worship properly. All I want to do is worship my Creator. That's it. And if I can't do this, I'm off. The hijrah was for deen, not economic reasons. So he went for permission to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the permission. Allah had other plans. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's closest companion Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu left Makkatul Mukarramah and reached at a 1 or 2 days distance of Barqul Ghamad. Reached a place there. There he met up with an individual who was the leader of his community, referred to as Ibn Dughunna. Ibn Dughunna said, Ya Aba Bakrin ila Ain. Where are you off to, Abu Bakr? He says, I'm leaving Makkatul Mukarrama because I just want to worship my Lord. That's it. Brothers, if you and I went to Heathrow Airport and we were asked, where are you off to, sir? Mom, where are you off to? And we would say, I just want to go to a place where I can worship Allah. Oh, so you're going to Makkah, are you? Ibn Dughunna said, فَمِثْلَكَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ لَا يَخْرُجْ وَلَا يُخْرَجْ. Ibn Dughunna was not a Muslim. He said, O Abu Bakr, the likes of you should not leave themselves, nor should they be driven out. If tomorrow we are said, all of you go, pack your bags and go. Would there anybody be at Heathrow Airport and said, where are you going? So we're going because we want to worship Allah Rabbul Alameen. Was there anybody who's going to stand up for and says, the likes of you guys should not go, nor should you be driven out, because you are good people? This is what Ibn Dughunna said. He goes on to say, this is why you should not leave Abu Bakr. لِأَنَّكَ تَسِيلُ الرَّحِيمُ. You join ties. In a culture where people break ties and fight for no reason, you join ties. وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومُ. And you earn for those who do not have. وَتَقْرِ الدَّيْفِ. You extend your warmest hospitality for people. You open your doors out for people. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. And you help others for good causes. Ask yourself, brothers, when was the last time when we went to Sainsbury's? Sorry, you probably don't shop at Sainsbury's. Aldi, Lidl, or wherever you, Morrison's or wherever, and there's a poor person there begging. He is playing his harp, or he's playing his flute, or he's playing his karaoke, or whatever he's singing. He may be singing Baba Black Sheep, but he's begging there. And when did you go with your £1 coin for a sadaqah for him, that this is for you? Because that £1 given with a smile, that is going to do a better dawah than anything else. When is the last time we did this? This is exactly what Ibn Dughunna says, this is what you do. And all of this he learned from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned, how am I going to tell people that the Quran is coming to me now? This was my experience in Ghare Hira, in the cave of Hira. This is what Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala said. Of course people will believe you. This is who you are. Which one of us would say, Tasduqul Hadith, you speak the truth. Wa taqsibul ma'doom, you earn for those who do not have. You open your hearts out, you open your houses out, and you feed us for those who do not have. You help us with other things. How many causes, without going into the stats, how many causes do we help as a community outside of our own? If there was a need for a local church. I don't know if there's a local church around here. I've walked Sunday mornings in Walsall. I've never heard a church bell. But you guys live here. If there was an appeal for a church bell, would we support it? These are the things that people here are looking at. We work with colleagues. We do more dawah in our workplaces than we would outside. Because they're looking at our character. So Ibn Dughunna says, the likes of you should not come. You come with me. Who's telling you no in Makkah? Who's going to hold our hand at Heathrow Airport and bring us back to Walsall? Say, you come with me. He stood up, Ibn Dughunna, in front of the senior people of Makkatul Mukarrama. He says, I, Ibn Dughunna, are granting him protection. And in those days, if you granted protection, the Arabs would respect that. According to the terms. So the terms were, okay, if you are saying he is allowed to stay, so long as he worships inside his house, he does not propagate his religion to anybody, he's lost his way, he's with Muhammad bin Abdullah, he can stay inside his house. This is what we call secularism today, that do your praying in your masjid or your local house on a Friday, on a Saturday, or a Sunday. This is what we call secularism today. I don't have time to explain you the history of secularism in Europe, where Europe was and where Europe is today. Ask these elderly buzrugs here who are sat here. When they came here, snow was this high, and church bells were every Sunday, and churches were full. Bhai main sahi keh raha hun, gap to nahi maar raha hun. I have seen all this, I've witnessed all this. I'm still nearly 25. So Ibn Dughunna is being told, brother, who's going to hold our hand? So he went to all of them. He says, he's going to stay here. He says, okay, he can worship inside his house. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted that. And he continued to worship in his house. And out after a short while, he said, I'm in my own compound. I'm going to build myself a prayer space in my courtyard. So he began to build a bit of a musalla area. And some of us, if we have large houses, we have a musalla room, a prayer room in our houses, a library of books. So he started praying there. When he was praying Quran, he was crying so much that people used to gather. And they understood the Quran that was being sent down to them. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala would cry, heavily cry. And they used to listen to him and they were impacted. So when the Quraysh saw all this, and they knew the words of the Quran penetrated the hearts of people. So these people are going to change. They called Ibn Dughunna. He said, come back. Our agreement was he would pray inside. He's in his house, in his compound of his house, but he's praying outside. And people are being affected. You go and say these were the terms and remind him. If he accepts the terms, Fabiha, okay, that's fine. If not, the agreement is cancelled. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala visited by Ibn Dughunna, and Ibn Dughunna repeats to him the conversation that he's just had with the chieftains of Quraysh. So this was our original agreement. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I'm going to worship my creator, forget your agreement. And after this, Allah Rabbul Alameen has said, had other plans. He was so sincere in giving over to Allah Rabbul Alameen, he was the one who's chosen for on the Hijra night with Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And what happened on the Hijra night? Is there anybody of Ibn Dughunna for us in the whole of this country? We're worried about our next generation. How is the iman? These elderly buzrugs, Allah grant them a long life with comfort and wealth and health and taqwa. But they must be thinking that if I'm going to go from this world, am I going to see my children and grandchildren in Jannah? Will the iman be intact? On the night of Hijra, Mulana 21st, ho gaya. Chalo, bhai, aap sabne sun liya na. Night of Hijra. I'll say this thing, then I will close. Night of Hijra. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was planning the Hijra. This did not happen just overnight. Small groups were going. And before this, there were small groups had already reached Medina. So first group had come to Makkatul Mukarrama from Medina, 6 people, then 12 people, then 18 people. So contact base had already been made. The message was already spreading. You will have heard of this great Natala al-Badru alayna. How did that happen all of a sudden? The message had already reached there. And when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent people in small pockets of communities, then he decided. And the master plan was, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, no, you sleep in my bed. Why? Because people of Quraysh knew wherever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, Ali radiallahu ta'ala was with him. If Ali is there, Muhammad ibn Abdullah is not gone yet. So he kept Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Ali radiallahu ta'ala grew up in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was bold. He was courageous. So he was slept. And the Quraysh were planning in Darul Arqam. They were planning that let's get all of the Quraysh from the different separate clans of Quraysh, get one person, one young person from every clan, and collectively they will assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fana'uzu billah. If they're asked who is responsible for this assassination, don't know. So So that was the master plan. Quran says, وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُوا بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُوا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. And remember the time when they were plotting against you. They wanted to imprison you. They wanted to kill you. They wanted to drive you out. They were planning and scheming and plotting. Allah Rabbul Alameen was planning, and He is the best of planners. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left, and with dust he threw over them and recited an ayat of Surah Yasin, which I don't have time to go into. Who is still in the house, brothers? Don't lose me. Who is still in the house? Hazrat Ali. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala is gone. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is gone. Who is in the house? And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was given a task. He said, all of this wealth here and trust belongs to people of Makkah. You give it to them. He came after 3 days. I ask you, brothers, if somebody is public enemy number one, who is on the hit list as most wanted, would you leave your prized assets and belongings with that person? Now do you understand the status of Rasulullah? The people who wanted to kill him left their prized assets with him. Now I ask you, we've been here 40, 50, 60 years. Who in the friends we work with who are not Muslim, or the neighbors we live with who are not Muslims, or the people we serve in our shops who are not Muslims, or the people who we give a ride to in our taxis who are not Muslims, or the buses that we drive, taxis that we drive for people who are not Muslim, who has ever turned up and said, oh Muslim, you're a follower of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these are my wife's precious jewels and its sentimental value, please look after them whilst I go on holiday? Who's going to do this? This is the difference when I say we stay facing the direction of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he went the hijrah, went to Madinatul Munawwara, Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu, a scholar of the Torah, he knew of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the Torah. He said, I wanted to see, who is Rasulullah? Who is this Muhammad bin Abdullah? What is this, all this emotion about? He said, I really wanted to catch a glimpse of him. That the first time I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I said to myself, Haza laysa bi wajhi kazzabin. This is not the face of an imposter. Who would look at our faces today and say, this is not the face of an imposter? It's the nur of iman on our faces. It's the nur of tahajjud salah on our faces. It's the nur of our salat on our faces. It's the nur of Quran on our faces. Abu Sufyan says, when they were coming back in the victory of Makkah, says, I was the one who was the chief architect behind every military expedition, every finance that I had to board against Islam. I was the one who did it, Abu Sufyan. And when they were coming back, 10,000 strong, brothers, 622 is the Hijrah year, according to the common era. 8 years later, they're coming back to Makkah. In 8 years, they go with a small group to Madinatul Munawwara. Within 8 years, they come 10,000 people. How does that happen? Abu Sufyan says, I was hiding in the mountains around Makkatul Mukarramah, and I was hiding myself behind the trees, and I was looking at these guys who were coming 10,000 strong, and I thought to myself, as an intelligent individual, I have got this totally wrong. I have underestimated these people. I'm looking at these people's faces, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm looking at Muhammad bin Abdullah's face, and I'm thinking to myself, these are not imposters. They are not the face of liars. So that itself changed my heart. And then Rasulullah came and said, Man dakhala dara Abi Sufyan fahuwa amin. He who enters the house of Abu Sufyan, he is safe and secure. Then he comes into iman. Now today we find hadith coming from Abu Sufyan. The game of hearts and mind changing and our future of our is in our own hands. The legacy of the past is we build these institutions, but also how are we going to interact with the locals? If we want to see Iman here for at least another 100 years, how are we offered this? We need to seriously think about this thing. And I've said this before in this masjid, and I've said it at different masajid. The biggest sunnah we can take out from the life of Hafiz Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi and Hazrat Aqdas Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi is to get up in tahajjud salah and cry for the ummah. Cry. When we lost those two buzrugs and mashayikh, that's what we lost. Somebody who cried for others. They didn't ask for themselves. Even if we were to wake up in tahajjud, our dua is I, me and myself. Their duas was for the ummah. Allah make us from among those who cry for the ummah. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Inshallah, namaz we are 8:35, inshallah, what is this, inshallah. Zandir. 8:35 ko namaz.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. وإذا ما أنزلت سورة نظر بعضهم إلى بعض هل يراكم من أحد ثم انصرفوا، صرف الله قلوبهم بأنهم قوم لا يفقهون،
لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا وبشر المؤمنين بأن لهم من الله فضلا كبيرا ولا تطع الكافرين والمنافقين ودع أذاهم وتوكل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله استغفر الله اللهم إنا نعبدك وإليك نشكو اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واشفنا واشف مولانا سمعنا وأطعنا برحمتك
Respected brothers and elders, Baitul Aman Welfare Trust is a UK registered charity running in a very poor and flood affected area in Bangladesh. Alhamdulillah, we have a boys' madrasa and orphanage and a girls' madrasa and orphanage where we have many students learning the Quran and Sunnah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "The best of you are those who learn the Quran and teach it." Inshallah, by assisting this madrasa, you will be a means of many students learning the Quran, and this will be a sadqa jariyah for you. We also provide emergency aid and family food packages to the Rohingya Muslim refugees. Currently, we urgently require 50 kg rice bags, which are £25. Family food packages are £60. To sponsor an orphan child for 1 year is £180. And to build a hand water pump is £200. I urge all brothers, please donate generously. Sadqa zakat lillah. Brothers can also donate by card. Jazakumullahu khairah.